Good afternoon and welcome. You are listening to The Word from the Trenches on Patriot Broadcast from the Trenches 89.5 Micro FM Chiloquin, the state of Jefferson. Simulcast on IndianaFreedomTalkRadio.com, the Grow Your Own Channel 107.5 FM Greenville, South Carolina, the Jalapeno Channel 87.9 FM Sioux Falls, South Dakota. Excuse me, and numerous other micro-broadcasts and webcasts across our great nation. Our website is FromTheTrenchesWorldReport.com. We open the broadcast with Trenches by Pop Evil. It is 12:04 Pacific Time. I am your host, Henry Shively, and I do believe we are joined by one of those sort. We all know the sort to give that other sort a bad name in the form of J.D., U.S. Marine, fighting tyranny, riding shotgun.
Yes, you are, Henry, and as always, an honor and a privilege to be fighting the propaganda war with you from the trenches.
And as always, an absolute honor and privilege to have you here, brother. This is a live call-in program, and listeners are encouraged to join in the conversation. If you'd like to call in, the number is 641-715-3610. A nice lady will come on the line and ask you for the conference room you want, and that would be 220029 and then the pound sign. Again, that's 641-715-3610, and then enter 220029 and hit that pound sign. Of course, you have to punch in *6 to unmute if you want to come up on the air and talk with JD and myself. Well, it's currently 24 degrees here, 4,200 feet in the high Cascades of northern Jefferson, and we're looking for a high of 36 degrees today for the Klamath Basin. And it's supposed to warm up and start raining and then turn into snow in the middle of the night and then just keep snowing and snowing and snowing and snowing. So, you know, damn the winter. That's all I can say. That being said, for your weather coast-to-coast, how are things today out there, Nazi Joyzy, J.E.D.?
Well, Henry, over here in the northeastern seaboard state of Nazi Jersey, at about 120 feet above sea level mean and about a mile away from the Atlantic Ocean proper, we currently have, well, I guess the meteorological term would be a dreary day. I'd say it's about 7.5 or an 8 on my gray scale. It's pretty dark out there. It is raining right now, and it looks like it's going to be continuing through the rest of the day and into the evening tonight. It is 43 degrees right now, but it will only drop down to about 40 degrees tonight. So if it wasn't for that, this would be a hell of a snowstorm. And it looks like tomorrow and the rest of the week, well, it's going to be a little bit sunnier, but man, we may be getting up into the 50s here for a little bit.
Woohoo, man, I wish I had your weather.
Well, you know, this is part of living near the ocean. You know, the ocean tends to be a moderator of the, you know, local climate, anything within like 50 miles of the shoreline. And so when you live right near a huge body of water, well, like the Atlantic Ocean, it tends to make your winters a little bit more mild sometimes.
Shit, if I moved to the ocean, there'd be waves breaking on the icebergs.
Well, you got to move away from the Arctic, pal. That's your whole problem.
Oh, that could be it. Anyways.
So what do we got, Henry? Because, man, you feel the excitement in the air. It's only 3 more days until the Trumpinator takes the office.
Oh, I got a tingle going right down my spine, I got to tell you that. But
you sure it's just not constipation?
You're not supposed to tell nobody about that.
Okay, sorry,
I thought that was personal. Anyways, we're going to break into the program talking a little bit about censorship and the reason people use censorship. And we'll do that as soon as we return from these messages from our most outstanding sponsors. You're listening to The Word from the Trenches on PBFTT.
Hey, old Dr. Bones here. Are you prepared to deal with medical issues in a disastrous situation? What would you do if medical help was not on the way? The Doom and Bloom Survival Medicine Handbook is over 400 pages of how-to advice written in plain English. You'll learn to handle all the likely medical issues you'll encounter in times of trouble. And it's not just the conventional medical wisdom. We talk about alternatives like essential oils, medicinal herbs, and other home remedies. Make the Doom and Bloom Survival Medicine Handbook a part of your survival library. And don't forget, Nurse Amy and I have medical kits, suture materials, instructional DVDs, and other items that'll help you keep it together even if things fall apart. Check them out, as well as 200 articles on medical preparedness, survival gardening, and other alternative remedies on our website at www.doomandbloom.net. Never think doom and gloom, think doom and bloom.
Bringing you the word from the trenches, please give a big round of applause for Henry Shively.
All righty then, we're going to talk a little bit about censorship. As you people listen every day, you know that they've got a new broadcast over at the Micro Effect. In fact, they've got a few new broadcasts over at the Micro Effect. And they call it the School for Common Law. And what they're teaching over there has nothing to do with...
Whoa, Henry, back this up. What are they calling this?
There's some kind of School for Common Law.
Now, they just started this.
Uh-huh.
Now, it couldn't possibly be in response to what you've been doing, Henry.
Well, I think the dirty church is very afraid right now. They have very effectively hidden the common law. I mean, I think that they are the main instrument in hiding the common law for so long from so many people. And McNeil over there, you know, he's brought these people on, and apparently they will go unchallenged. You know, we've challenged them here. We went over the Bill of Rights, and we've shown how it is the maximums and the procedure. It is the common law for the United States of America. It's easy to learn. Anybody can learn it. You don't have to be a Bible scholar to learn the Bill of Rights and understand what's in it and how the apparatus works, to understand how to apply your rights, how to apply your authority as a free national on a par with the crown heads of your... Ooh, man, that probably hurt him right there, because, I mean, they are people that will bend a knee to a king. At any rate, this morning, you know, they... Katie had sent cut version, I think that, I don't know if it was cut for specifically, but when we did the Bill of Rights and explained the law therein, to the Joseph over there. And so this morning, the first thing they start out, JD, they're going to do a segment on the Bill of Rights, but they don't want no callers until they're done. So they're looking for, stay out of that goddamn argument, man. They're going to throw some shit against the wall, just like old Brother Brooks did, and see if any of it stick.
I love the smell of desperation in the morning.
Oh, man, me too. It smells like traitors. Anyways, so they, you know, they, if she starts out, that one of the gals comes up there with the, you know, talking about, who, you know, I can't think of the guy's name, who actually wrote the Bill of Rights for Virginia, the rights of the people of Virginia. And that this is, and I mean, it's written, right? She read it right there. It was stolen from him by Madison, you know, when they went to write the Bill of Rights. Of course, Madison, the good old boy Mason, he got the goddamn credit for it. But this fellow had written it, and what it is, it's law, people. We went over this. It is law. It is the frickin' law of this land. It is the jurisdiction of the people. Either this country belongs to the people, and we are the authority, or else we're ruled by somebody. You got to get that through your head right out the gate. But you know what? The problem is the Micro Effect, they've put themselves forward as a patriot programming. But what they're looking, they're, you know, you ain't going to find patriots among those who long to be to serve. I should have wrote it down. At any rate, they do not want true freedom. They want to be ruled by the church. They want the higher-ups in the church, you know, the good old boy Masons at the top, to interpret the Bible. And you know, if they go along with this, you know, if you go along with their dirty church assertions and you become a member of the dirty church, just like with the Masons, you're going to know favor in this country where there is no favoritism for any collective, that a country that emphasizes on the rights of the individual. Servitude, that was it. These people crave servitude. They want to serve the church. And they want me to serve the church, even if I don't believe in their goddamn church or any of their writings. I just got to do it because, they've interpreted this shit and they know what they're talking about. It's worked out so well for them, betraying their country. Now, the first article to our Bill of Rights says, and I will repeat again, Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of a religion. This is not a religious state. There is no state religion. But she brought up these, in the, you know, when the Bill of Rights was being ratified into the, as an attachment, it, all 10 articles as the First Amendment to the Constitution of the United States. And she read that this, from Pennsylvania, she read all of these little shit-ass eastern states who had ruled the people through the dirty church in the colonies. And these are the very same people writing them, because they are the people that hijacked this country. And to hijack the grassroots uprising and turned it into their revolution and formed a new government right in the middle of an uprising. Man, there's some special frickin' people. And of course, there in those writings there was, you can't serve in the government unless you're a Protestant or unless you profess your belief in Christ. Well, this first article, this Bill of Rights was attached, and I'll tell you why. It wasn't because somebody would just wanted to pass some legislation like Obamacare or something. This was passed because the people were ready to go blow their fucking heads off. They said, you're not gonna rule us like you did in the colonies through your goddamn Masonic dirty church and your interpretations of your Bible that always seem to benefit you and screw me. You're not taking control of this country and handing it to your church. We will kill you. You will attach this law. This law will be followed or you will be shot. The first line of that law says, Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of a fucking religion. Got it? There are a handful of fanatics in this country. I've said it many times, people. I've been in this movement for a whole hell of a long time, and I've seen what has killed it. What has made it so it can't progress? Because every time there starts to be a little bit of power, just like the hijacking of the Tea Party movement, the hijacking of the Occupy movement. Every time these fanatics, these sick in the head son of a bitches, see the smallest little bit of power beginning to accumulate around the idea of freedom and liberty. Well, they're the patriots, don't you know? We'll put up radio broadcasts. We'll bring donate money to us. Donate money to us so that we can finally, like the last time I went in with these guys, the son of a bitch said, I asked him straight up, I go, did I hear you say that you don't want no Bill of Rights? No, I don't want no Bill of Rights. I told him he was a goddamn traitor. And that is treason. That is the definition of treason. But they're out there purporting themselves as patriots, people. Now, you people out there broadcasting and donating to the Micro Effect, you need to understand what you are advocating for is treason. If you say you're against that Bill of Rights, you don't call yourself a patriot, you treasonous piece of trash. Oh, but I'm doing it for God. Well, your God ain't going to rule over me either. Get it through your head. And the majority of the people in this country, that 75%, they're not the Trump suckers. Or the communists. We're not going to be ruled by your interpretations. We are free people. We will do as we goddamn well please, as long as we're not violating the rights of another. And if we do, we have the apparatus right here, handed to us by real fucking patriots. That's called the Bill of Rights. And it has the procedure to litigate any kind of problems that come up. This is our self-government, and by God, you know it too, you dirty church scum. And this is the Mormon dirty church. No doubt, you know, that we have been pushing this pretty hard for a long time. And boy, nobody likes to, they don't even want to talk about it. I mean, even the people who are hardened patriots, Bill of Rights, that's all, Bill of Rights. I wondered why. I've always wondered why. And it is that first article. This is not a theocracy. This is a republic with an emphasis on the rights of the individual. It is true freedom and liberty for each and every person. Born an American national. This is the common law for the United States of the Americas, bar none. I don't want to hear about old English bullshit king law, because that's what they started bringing up, John. They started bringing up before King William, I think it was King Henry or King William, the church statutes stated. Well, these church statutes could only come from one place, people, and that's from their Bible, their interpretations of their Bible. They are inadmissible in any court of law.
Now, wait, Henry, didn't some of them old church statutes also say you could burn people at the stake?
Well, yeah, many a person got burned because they floated in a pond. I mean, these are the gene. This is what they would have you, and they would have you screwing through the sheets, people. I mean, don't you never think that? I mean, it's just like Brooks. These people are sitting off there to the side. They've fucked this movement up from the beginning. Every time it starts to go somewhere, there here they come. We got to do it. We got to reinstate the will. The Bible. No, the law, the written factual law, and your Bible will not stand up to a test in a goddamn court. It is second-hand conjecture at best. Now, there's a lot of good things that have come from it. There are a lot of good Christian folk out there as individuals who are decent, fine folk, and they live by it. And I love them. I love every one of them. That's the people I want to be around. But we have to have fact of law, or we get what we got right now. This was facilitated by people like Joe frickin' McNeil and this Joe buddy of his and these assholes calling themselves common law teachers. What they do is they babble around. And I mean, I found, I mean, when I was trying to find the common law, make no mistake, I ran into this. And oh man, you just gotta, you'll never understand it. It's just beyond you. Just do what the church tells you. That's all you got to do. We got it down. The church will, you know, they talk about the Bill of Rights limiting your rights. That's why, well, you don't want it because it just don't name every right. No, it is the procedure to exercise every right, and you know it goddamn well, too, you fraudulent, dirty, treasonous bastards. You know it is. What limits my rights is your goddamn interpretations of your Bible. Like it says, I can't drink beer on Sunday. Oh, well, that's written. Well, hey, man, that kind of conflicts with these maximums in this law I'm looking at. Says you can't seize me on Sunday and tell me I can't do any goddamn thing. It ain't none of your business, preacher. But see, this is, I'm telling you, people, this is why these statements were made that they brought up on the micro effect this morning on their little phony ass goddamn propaganda bullshit broadcast. Of course, the dirty church is going to say, well, we're going to say that you can't be serving the government unless you're a Protestant. Well, wait a minute now. Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of a religion. Wait a minute. These two things don't jive. So right as you're, as this was being, ratified. As this Bill of Rights was, as they were ratifying, they put out these statements saying, but we're going to just go ahead and run things like we did back in the colonies. So the people had their law here to fight them. To say, no, you're not going to tell me what to do. The church and the goddamn Masonic Lodge does not own this country. The people who just fought and died on it. And we're going to be free upon it. It gives us life, we'll give it life. And still today, I mean, what we actually did, we forced them into a conundrum here, people. We made them reveal themselves. You see, I've said this all along. I mean, if you're so righteous in your goddamn beliefs that you should rule me, that you're, I mean, it's like Brother Brooks coming on there and, you know, it's kind of weaseling it out of the side of his mouth. This is God's earth and we ought to kill everybody that don't convert to Christianity. Let's have a inquisition, a worldwide inquisition, because the planet belongs to my God. Don't you know that? And so you got to abide by his law. That it was written, I mean, I was told that it was written by somebody who interpreted it, that heard that somebody said something a long, long time ago that can't be proved. And that's the law you will live under.
Yeah, let's start another whole war.
There you go, brother. And that's really what they're trying to do here. You see, the idea here is people, they come up and present themselves. When you see a patriotic movement coming up from the grassroots, when regular folk just start saying, I'm tired of this shit, let's go kill them. Let's go kick their asses. They can't do this to us. I can read that Bill of Rights. They're doing everything they're doing is violating it. Oh, man, there's some people. Well, we have the movements over here. When the first time I ever contacted militias, same assholes. I swear to God. Same assholes. Yeah, oh, the old law, man. They loved my knowledge of the law. Man, they thought I was something else. Oh, but when it came down to, well, you know, I ain't going to live by your Bible. What? What? No, it's got to be to get everybody under a theocracy. This is not a theocracy. It will never be a theocracy. We will put your asses, and like I said, these are fanatics, and they are very few, and we're taking down your fucking names. Make no mistake about it. And we're going to put your ass in a goddamn dirt bed. You couldn't just live your life freely as you chose. You want to live mine too, don't you, you sick son of a bitches? Joe McNeil. So anyway, they started this crap this morning, so I was going to call in and let them know that not one word of their Bible would be admissible in any frickin' court. Because a court is the whole idea of his court is to end up with a just verdict. and a just verdict can't be arrived at with speculation and conjecture. It is based in pure, as close to fact as you can absolutely get. And that conjecture in that Bible is not fact. It would not be admissible in any court, and they know it. But they would, I'll tell you what. When they tell you them Mormons want that Constitution, that's no lie. When they tell you they want that Constitution, that's why it's Constitution, which is government power. And I'm going, why in the hell would you glom onto that as opposed to the Bill of Rights? People power. Your power. Because they want to be the apparatus. They want to be the controllers. They want to control you. If I'm high up in the church, man, I know the Bible. I know these. I can come up with a freaky thing every day to tell you why you can't or why you can. And I can have power.
This is all sounding an awful lot like conspiracy theory, like you're describing, you know, a handful of people want to be in power.
Well, yeah, I mean, be it communist, be it fascist, or be it eclectives in a dirty church Masonic cabal, what the hell's the difference? That they want.
What difference does the bedtime story make?
I don't know. But, I always hear Mark Carnegie talking about people wanting power. Well, it is those, God. It is the Joe McNeils. It is the dirty Mormon church, the dirty Presbyterian church. It is the dirty Baptist Catholic church. The ones committing treason right down on our border right now that want the power. We just want to be left the fuck alone.
Now, wait, aren't they starting a ministry of the Bill of Rights here? Or I guess their version of the Ministry of Enlightenment?
Well,
like
John,
had?
I got to tell you, excuse me. I hear them using all parts. I mean, they will not acknowledge that the Bill of Rights is anything but written down. It's not law. We went over, the Bill of Rights, I guarantee you, prior to the Civil War, there was not a case that went through a common law court where the Bill of Rights wasn't a part of the cites in it. It had to be.
So wait a minute. Is it the Bill of Suggestions?
Well, no, all of it's just fine with them. I mean, I hear them talk about due process, due process. It's just that first fucking goddamn statement. Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of a religion.
Oh, no, wait, that's a problem for people who want to use religion as a reason to grab power, isn't
well,
it?
Well, control by any other means, right? They want to control. They want power. Of course, it's God ordaining them to have the power, like the priests of Sanhedrin, right? The priests of Sanhedrin said that they were God's personal representatives in the area when they condemned Jesus Christ to die, to get nailed to a frickin' cross. There was your power of the day, your religious power of the day. The only power that's supposed to be in a freeman's life is his own. In a free people's life is his own. We can teach this, people. This just shows me that they've went to this kind of trouble to put up some sorry-ass shields even. The thing is, they were so freaking sorry that they couldn't stand an argument. Because I'd gone in them twice, and I had done nothing rude to them. I told the guy last time that if you were against the Bill of Rights, you're a goddamn traitor. But I think that is the definition of a goddamn traitor, is it not? So the lady started talking off this morning, so I called in, and I was going to go ahead and take him to task on these assertions that, in the colonies, those guys that ran the dirty church cabal before the revolution, they said that they could be the only ones to run the government. Oh, really? Who? Gee, I would have never expected that, but the Bill of Rights wouldn't let them do it, would it? So I call in, and McNeil's daughter, Shelby, it's a polite young lady, always been polite to me when I called in, even though sometimes I'm a little bit ornery when I call in. But she tells me, I can't let you on the air. Oh, but Joe McNeil doesn't censor calls. He doesn't have no agenda but freedom and liberty, right? No, he is an apparatus of the Mormon Dirty Church. He, right now, he's got 80 acres out there, and he's pumping people into Idaho. I mean, hey, Idaho, you better wake up. The Mormons are invading. They want to take over, and they want to rule you under their biblical interpretations. So get ready. That's what Joe McNeil's all about. That's what the micro effect's all about. And I tell you people again, I will not broadcast Mark no more in the morning. I'm turning the son of a bitch off. It might end up to this is the only goddamn broadcast you hear come out of here. As long as Mark Carnegie continues to say in the afternoon that this war is about the Bill of Rights, I will continue to broadcast him. But in the morning, when Joe McNeil's trying to use Mark Carnegie, and I don't know why Mark Carnegie allows himself to be used like this, or how he can claim not to be a part of it, to try to lend legitimacy to a group that is saying they do not want our Bill of Rights, people. Now go support them. Go support cutting your own throat. They are a small minority, but they'll take every goddamn thing you got. They would take every one of you going out and getting killed in a war, just like the first time around. The Patriots went out on in April 1775, April 19th. They went out and they started the dying and the killing. And they died and killed right through that goddamn war, only to come out at the other end. Here the dirty son of a bitches were. Hijacked it and took it around. We're still in control! So then the people put together their law and said, this is the law we're going to live under. You can run that little shit-ass government you think you got over there in that 10-mile square. Outside that 10-mile square, we are the law. We are the people. It is our jurisdiction. This goddamn country belongs to us. We want it in war. But they said, even today, I mean, when I heard that guy say, oh, we don't, no, the church don't want no Bill of Rights. It would forbid them from controlling the people, for forcing their interpretations on the people. The sundry laws, we've talked about, I mean, and if you wanted to explore them, man, I mean, my God, people, how many could you come up with? That woman, two people, you know, decide to live together, a man and a woman. You don't even have to be a faggot or a transvestite. Just a man and a woman decide, oh, I'm gonna shack up with her, man. I like being with her. And it has nothing to do with any churches. I just want to be with her. That was against the law. You know, you could be put in jail for that prior to somebody enforcing one of the Bill of Rights through the Bill of Rights. You're living in sin. That's against the law in this country where Congress shall make no law respecting the establishment of a religion. It's against our religious law. So we can put you in jail for that. How many people serve time in jail for adultery? Before, I mean, it's not heard of now because people finally got to say, wait a minute, wait, get it out here. What's it say? Congress shall make no law respecting the establishment of a religion. And you have no complaint against me, mano y mano, as an American national in any common law court, so fuck off. I'll do as I please. This is what they can't stand. They have their own way that all of us should live, and by God, we're going to do it, and they would kill you. Make no mistake. Oh, thanks, Laura. I get going, man. It can happen. All righty, guys. We are down at the bottom of the hour. We're going to take our bottom of the hour break. We'll be back in about 8 minutes. You're listening to the Word from the Trenches, the true Word from the Trenches. And we'll be back in about 8 minutes.
Old Dr. Bones here. Are you prepared to deal with medical issues in a disastrous situation? What would you do if medical help was not on the way? The Doom and Bloom Survival Medicine Handbook is over 400 pages of how-to advice written in plain English. You'll learn to handle all the likely medical issues you'll encounter in times of trouble. And it's not just the conventional medical wisdom. We talk about alternatives like essential oils, medicinal herbs, and other home remedies. Make the Doom and Bloom Survival Medicine Handbook a part of your survival library. And don't forget, Nurse Amy and I have medical kits, suture materials, instructional DVDs, and other items that'll help you keep it together even if things fall apart. Check them out, as well as 200 articles on medical preparedness, survival gardening, and other alternative remedies on our website at www.doomandbloom.net. Never think doom and gloom, think doom and bloom.
Go Healthy Next supports freedom of choice for natural healthcare alternatives. We offer a variety of innovative products to slow down environmental toxin accumulation and increase detoxification. Call us at 866-463-4533 or visit GoHealthyNext.com to learn how to start protecting the ones you love. Begin indoors replacing mercury-filled fluorescent bulbs with ion-bright LED bulbs that also kill bacteria, produce millions of negative ions, and reduce contaminants. Inhale cleaner air anywhere with our portable BreatheSafe air purifier and simultaneously increase the absorption of oxygen through your lungs. Make and drink ozonated water to increase your body's oxygen levels with Trioxy Ozone Generators. Then sweat out all those toxins with our Sonifix, which maximizes phototherapy and requires absolutely no preheating. Go green and get detoxified with our lab-tested and verified products. Give us a call at 1-866-463-4533 or visit us online at GoHealthyNext.com to learn more.
Divergent Flavor Labs introduces our all-original e-juice flavor line made from pure 100% kosher USP food-grade ingredients. Whether it's our flavored tobaccos like Calypso or our amazing bakery flavors like Crumbiliumptious, Divergent Flavor Labs handmade all-original flavor line will never disappoint. Available exclusively through VaporsRebellion.com.
United States of America! If you want to brew up some liquor and drink it, buy a moonshine still. Fragrances, spirits, moonshine, hash oil, distilled water, ethanol, gas. Make your own. Distillery Network. Make it!
You're listening to The Word from the Trenches, from thetrenchesworldreport.com, brought to you by Patriot Broadcast from the Trenches. The Word from the Trenches is a listener-sponsored broadcast. If you'd like to help keep this programming on the air, go to fromthetrenchesworldreport.com and hit that donate button. Or you can mail donations to Henry Shively at Post Office Box 964, Chiloquin, Oregon, 97624. Your contributions are appreciated. I'm your host, Henry Shively. It is 12:39 Pacific Time, and that was Bob Seger and the Silver Bullet Band of Feel Like a Number. And, you know, to try to conclude this up a little bit, you know what, McNeil? I know somebody's listening. It's gonna, you're probably listening to yourself, you sleazy bitch. You're not going to stop us from doing what we're doing. And you're not going to get rid of you're not just going to go over there and push your goddamn treasonous propaganda without consequence. Now, you can have Shelby tell me I can't come up on the air. But the front page of From the Trenches World Report sees more people in one day than your broadcast does in a frickin' year. And we will be monitoring you, just like we monitor the communists, just like we monitor the fascists. We will monitor you because you are traitors advocating for a foreign form of government other than that prescribed in the founding documents of our country. And our Bill of Rights is absolute, you son of a bitch. And with that Bill of Rights that you say ain't law, I will prove you guilty of treason on the front page of From the Trenches time and time again until finally you do, and you too, Joseph, until you're standing in a real common law court. And we'll see if we'll bring your old common law Bible and you can just come out and see if you can beat me in a common law court or the people I've taught. You will hang for your treachery, you scum. That being said, it's just got real. Cops at DAPL now have missile launchers. Not kidding. This is out there in South Dakota. This is sent in. This is from the Free Thought Project, and it was sent in by Misty for discussion on FromTheTrenchesWorldReport.com. And, you know, they've took them a missile launcher out there. This is some more of that government that you just need to fix and reform. Get them back to the church. The church, I mean, the honest, good folk in the church, treacherous bastards. And all will be good and fine, but, I mean, they've brought a missile launcher out there. I mean, this is no doubt to intimidate those people. You know, this government will squash your ass. I mean, this government of, for, and by the people, put in place by the aristocracy, run by the aristocracy, the Masonic dirty church. They'll kill your ass. They want their oil pipeline, bitch. Get out of the way or die. See, that one wasn't really one of my favorite ones anyway. Oh, I like this one. Law would cut off aid to countries that refuse to accept illegal immigrant criminals. You mean we're giving aid to countries that are pushing their goddamn, bringing their trash over here and dumping it in our yard, bringing their criminals over here to kill our people, and we're still giving them aid? We just now got around to talking about this? This is from Fox News. Another one we monitor, Joe. We're going to monitor you like Fox News because you're just a piece of shit propagandist, a treasonous piece of shit propagandist like the people at Fox News. As proposed, a proposed law that would punish countries that refuse to take back their illegal immigrant criminals is 2 years too late to save Casey Chadwick. Wow. Like I said, we've been given aid to these son of a bitches all. I mean, and that is a taxation from a foreign government on us people. Make no mistake about it. Through that aristocracy, dirty church, Masonic cabal. But the Texas congressman behind it figures it's the least Washington can do. Oh, God, they're looking out for us. They love us. Chadwick was murdered in 2015 by John Jacques, an illegal immigrant from Haiti, and one of thousands freed into the United States streets each year after they serve prison time because their homelands refuse deportation. They don't want their trash back. That's why they dumped it here. And it was invited here by this aristocracy who had to root out the communists that they allowed to come in by destroying our law, destroying our way to defend against it. Take back, and you know, we've talked about this, the place down on the Mexican border, that no man's land is like a big, drainage thing, you know, goddamn, what they call it, canal, cement canal. And they're just right there because Mexico won't take them back. But that, of course, what's the big deal walking back into the United States and killing somebody else? I mean, they talk about, you know, we're the most powerful nation on planet Earth, and these little pissant, goddamn third world shitholes tell us, no, you're going to take our trash. You're going to take our murderers. You're going to take our rapists. You're going to take our pedophiles. We're going to put them on you. And now you're going to feed them. You're going to take in their children. You're going to raise their families for them, and they're going to kill you because that's what we're sending them for. And to think that it was ever any other intention than that's just goddamn stupidity. The thing is to beat down and get the American nationals down to think they did nothing belongs to them. They're, everybody controls them. They don't control. I just got to ask everybody about something. If it ain't the church, I got to ask the government. Well, the government is the church, kind of, ain't it? Because it is the goddamn dirty church down there on the borders facilitating this shit through government grant. That is your and I money taken from our labor at gunpoint to go down here and finance this goddamn invasion backed by the dirty church. And that's the Protestants. That's the Catholic Church. That is the Baptist. That is every denomination is down there sucking it up, committing treason against our people. But they want to rule. I mean, they should be the one. They read the Bible real good and the interpretations. I mean, it might seem like those interpretations are really favoring them and fucking us. But hey, man, they know what they're right in contact with God, just like the priests of Sanhedrin who nailed Jesus to the cross. The problem is hundreds of Americans are being robbed, assaulted, raped, or murdered every year by criminal aliens who are then released back into the streets because their countries of origin refuse to take them back, Babin said. I have personally met with a murderer or a number of these victims, or if the victim is deceased, I have met with their families. It is heart-wrenching. Yeah, of course they should come up here and kill Americans, man. This is what it's all about. This is what we got, a good leadership out of that dirty church Masonic cabal, huh? Chadwick's case is among the most egregious, Babin said. Jockeys was sentenced to 60 years in prison last year for stabbing Chadwick, 25 years old, to death in her Norwich apartment. Come into the woman's apartment, killed her, American national, killed her. Stabbed her to death, this goddamn psycho that they let back out on our street. Well, the Katy didn't want him back. They might kill a Haitian down there. Better they kill Americans. The killer had been in the United States illegally since 1992, had already spent 17 years in prison for, well, attempted murder and possession of a firearm without a permit. He was not deported after serving time, but it was not for lack of U.S. effort. Not much effort. Come on. You're sending them aid. Just now you're coming around. Well, we do send them aid. I guess we can cut that off and tell them they have to take them back. This woman deserves, I mean, her family deserves true justice through the common law. The son of a bitch is responsible for letting that little bastard stay. I mean, I'll tell you what. You put him in an airplane and take 10,000 feet over Haiti and you just drop him. He'll be in Haiti then, won't he? And if the Haitian government, I mean, what the Haitian government's telling us how the cow eats the cabbage now, the Haitians? Really? You're going to take our murderers. You're going to take our rapists. You're going to take our child molesters, America, you punk. Because we're going to put them, you opened up your borders, you're really asking for it, ain't you? Bent over. Effort. Jockeys was listed as a passenger on 3 charter flights to Haiti in June, August, and October of 2012. But each time, the Haitian government refused to repatriate him. Tough shit. You repatriate him, or we'll, how about we drop a bomb on you? We drop bombs on people for no goddamn reason, for international corporations, for the Jews. We drop bombs on innocent people who have done us no harm over in Iraq. We destroy their whole goddamn country for a pipeline for the Jews, but we can't muscle up on Haiti to take back their criminals? Wonder whose decision that was. A 2001 Supreme Court ruling, Zadvydas versus Davis, held that illegal immigrants ticketed for deportation but unaccepted by their home countries cannot be detained indefinitely. No, you don't detain them indefinitely. You got you just go down there and you tell them, Haitians, you take them back or we'll blow you up. This is what our goddamn military is supposed to be for, to defend us, ain't it? To defend this lady who got stabbed in her apartment at 25 years old and killed. Well, we don't do that. No, we're over there. We're over there. Well, what are we doing over there in the Middle East? Oh, that's right. We're conquering the Middle East for Zion, for our Zionist masters in Tel Aviv. That's what our military's for, people. Not to protect this lady, to protect her right to her life, to protect our sovereign borders, which when they're selling us on that standing army, I think that's what it was for, wasn't it? To protect our sovereign country? No. That's an international force under NATO control. It's a United Nations thing you pay for. Operating outside the law, in direct violation of the law, within how the law was surrendered with the Constitution. That's another thing that pees me about people talking about that Constitution. Hell, that's a contract that, any other contract in the world, a dimwit, looking at a contract that's been breached to the point that it doesn't even make any sense that it exists. But it's about the Constitution, people. Forget about that Bill of Rights. It's Constitution and government power we want here in this country. We want a government over us. It's a real good Christian government. We know Protestants and, you know, the people are facilitating the invasion. The people who have controlled this country since its inception and took all the wealth out of it for themselves and made us their lackeys, their peons, their coolies, that want to remove our Bill of Rights. The people had no problem with the NDAA, Sections 1021 and 1022. For the indefinite detention and military arrest of American nationals without due process of the law. That's one thing you'll never hear these people talk about. And I wondered about it, man. Bill of Rights? God damn, that's really where we're at here, isn't it? I mean, I looked at it as the Bill of Rights, man. They left us, hey, man, everything goes to shit. Jump on this. This is your authority. Go take your country back, just like your founders did. Get out the guns and take it back by force because there's no other way. That's what they told us. But no, we don't listen to them. Listen to the dirty church. The dirty, dirty, dirty church. Listen, congregation. Listen, sheep. Be good sheep. Be good sheep. Follow the commands of the dirty church. He was not deported after serving time, but it was not for lack. We did that. An illegal immigrant ticketed for deportation, but unaccepted by his home country. Well, he's just got to be released to kill your people. That's what that law says. Boy, they're looking out for us, aren't they? Jacques was held for 205 days, but ultimately freed less than 6 months before he killed Chadwick. 6 months. Came out and killed this girl. And my kid, man, there'd been a lot of dying. It would have been the son of a bitch is responsible for not taking. They knew this son of a bitch. I mean, think about what they do to you. At zero tolerance on wearing a seatbelt. What's that? All the insurance companies decided they wanted. A corporation decided they wanted to seize you when any time that you went to travel in a car. Oh, of course that's constitutional. That's what constitution's about, seizing people. But this son of a bitch, man, well, God, he's got rights. This murderer he already attempted to kill somebody else, you know, but hey man, he has rights. This Haitian in America has goddamn rights. That's what you get when you dismiss the Bill of Rights that is for the people of the United States of America. You get shit like this. Administrative admiralty bullshit in the name of, oh, it's right. He has rights. I mean, the freedom thing and we all believe in liberty and stuff. And he only tried to kill that first fella. And he is a psychotic maniac. But, you know, if he wants to get out and buy a knife and kill this lady, that's his freedom. This is how sick and distorted everything has become, people. This is why it has never been more imperative that people understand what it is supposed to be. I mean, they have put this ball of spaghetti on the table and said, we'll try to find your freedom in there. Well, we don't have to. We just sweep the whole goddamn thing out of the way. We are the authority here. We cancel your fucking contract. How about that? You ain't doing it anymore. We're gonna take our country back and we're gonna make a new contract and it's gonna be a strict son of a bitch. Every other word in it's gonna be hung by the neck until dead if you violate this article. Period. No, we can't have that. Then the dirty church couldn't start dictating our lives from the theology of their Bible, their interpretation. We can't have that. Better to have this lady dead. I mean, than to go against God. Surely God wanted this guy to kill this woman. That's why she's dead. Right? For the sake of Casey and thousands of other Americans who have been victimized, it is time we start putting the safety of our citizens first. Oh, I'm not a citizen. I'm an American national. You don't put nothing. I put you son of a bitch. First, and stop this revolving door that is allowing dangerous criminals who should be deported back onto our streets, Babin said. A House Oversight and Government Reform Committee hearing in April documented that since 2013, 86,288 illegal immigrants have committed 231,074 crimes after being released from prison. But they have rights. You can't, I mean, you got to treat these people right. They're criminals. They're not good people. I mean, we want a country of shit. You got to cater to the shit. If you want.
They're repeat customers.
Oh, there you go.
They're repeat customer.
Every time they go in, ching, ching, man, another federal grant headed your way. You're absolutely right there, Flea. We were at 231,074 crimes after being released from prison. Many of those illegal immigrants are ultimately deported, but some 2,166 who had served their time for various crimes were released last year when their home countries refused to take them back. What the hell you mean you refused to take? You want us to bomb you? You want us to use that goddamn American military for what it was intended? Are you pushing us? You think that you're going to get any relief through some son of a bitch like Trump? You think your rights are going to be reinstated? You think that they actually give a shit if you get up in the morning? They don't. They care about controlling you. Any mechanism will do. The best mechanism wins. You get the wealth of the country just for controlling these people. And then when it's all done, we kill you, and it all belongs to, well, the three at the top. Babin's bill would require the Department of Homeland Security to report to Congress every 3 months the names of uncooperative countries. The federal government would then withhold foreign aid. So we're giving foreign aid to these countries that are throwing their trash over here to kill our people. Jeez, what the hell is it with us? I want to know how I ended up with no corruption of blood, how I ended up owing anybody any goddamn thing in this world. But somehow we just, it's foreign aid, that's what it is. Contractors is what it comes down to, because when you have a foreign aid package, well, somebody's got to distribute that money. It's got to go through a bank and through contracts. Ching, ching, the Masonic Dirty Church cabal is making all kinds of money, aren't they? On your blood. Homeland Security to report to Congress every 3 months. The federal government would then withhold foreign aid to the countries while the State Department would suspend travel visas. Oh, geez. This has been going on for, we had a 2012 report here I saw. This since 2012 and just dawned on you? We're paying them people a lot of money who won't take their criminals back, keep murdering our people. And our President-elect Donald Trump, the bill faces renewed interest, in quotation marks, because Trump has voiced his strong support for punishing countries that refuse to accept deportations, Babin said. The problem is getting out of hand. Oh, you think, maybe when it's one of your people that are killed, then that's probably what happened. A Jew got killed. Oh, this is out of hand. I mean, you killed 10,000 Americans, but hey, a Jew died today. Now this is out of hand. Agreed Jessica Vaughn, Director of Policy Studies for the Washington-based Center for Immigration Studies. There are now more than 20 countries that refuse to cooperate with the United States. How about, I got an idea. We put up a real border defense. We put our military down on the border. And any of you, I don't care, we ain't going to talk about it, because you get within 100 yards of our border, bam, you're dead. Man, that would solve the problem. Oh, that would be terrible. That's inhuman. Give them some aid. That's what you want to do. It's just not Cuba and Cambodia anymore. Now it's China, Bangladesh, Nigeria, and many others, she said. The State Department has imposed visa sanctions only once on Gambia just a few months ago, which worked right away, said Vaughn. Whoo! Man, though, these goddamn geniuses we got running things. Oh, God, we're lucky to have them. Anyways, guys, we're going to roll across.
Thank you for listening to PBFTT.
Patriot Broadcast from the Trenches, 89.5.
Micro FM.
Chiloquin, the state of Jefferson.
Go Healthy Next supports freedom of choice for natural health care alternatives. We offer a variety of innovative products to slow down environmental toxin accumulation and increase detoxification. Call us at 866-463-4533 or visit GoHealthyNext.com to learn how to start protecting the ones you love. Begin indoors replacing mercury-filled fluorescent bulbs with ion-bright LED bulbs that also kill bacteria, produce millions of negative ions, and reduce contaminants. Inhale cleaner air anywhere with our portable BreatheSafe air purifier and simultaneously increase the absorption of oxygen through your lungs. Make and drink ozonated water to increase your body's oxygen levels with Trioxy ozone generators. Then sweat out all those toxins with our Sonifix, which maximizes phototherapy and requires absolutely no preheating. Go green and get detoxified with our lab-tested and verified products. Give us a call at 1-866-463-4533 or visit us online at GoHealthyNext.com to learn more.
United States of America! You want to brew up some liquor and drink it? Buy a moonshine still. Fragrances, spirits, moonshine, hash oil, distilled water, ethanol, gas. Make your own. Distillery Network. Make it!
Alrighty, you're listening to the second hour of the Word from the Trenches on PBFTT Patriot broadcast from the Trenches 89.5 Micro FM Chiloquin, the state of Jefferson. On this Turncoat Tuesday, how appropriate, the 17th day of January 2017. I'm your host, Henry Shively. It's 1 o'clock Pacific time. That means it's time for the Tactical Report with JD, U.S. Marine Fighting Tyranny. John, you have the floor.
Okay, Henry, thank you very much. Continuing on with our station identification, you are listening to A Word from the Trenches on PBFTT, Patriot Broadcast from the Trenches, 89.5 Micro FM, Chiloquin, the state of Jefferson, or as some people know it, Oregon. Simulcast on IndianaFreedomTalkRadio.com, the Grow Your Own Channel, 107.5 FM, Greenville, South Carolina, Jalapenos Channel, 87.9 FM, Sioux Falls, South Dakota, and numerous other micro-broadcasts and webcasts across our great nation and around the world. If you'd like to call live, call online. Our number is 641-715-3610. And a very nice Ebola, anthrax, measles, living flu, severe respiratory syndrome, bronchial polio, Lyme disease, Legionnaire's disease, chickenpox, West Nile fever, yellow fever. And, of course, the latest and greatest Zionist Jew communist media sensation, a Zika free lady, come on the line and ask you a conference from you on. And that number is 22-00-29 and the pound sign. And don't forget, at the end of the tactical report, I do open the floor for any questions or comments, but you do need to hit *6 to manually unmute. All right, let's get going. We always start off, of course, I do that little tongue-in-cheek rendition of all those diseases, which are all national, most of them international headlines, all within the last year and a half. And have you noticed how, well, they just haven't even been in the headlines at all? Like, so somehow, mysteriously, the diseases all went away. They're not a threat anymore. They're not a concern. Right. Sure, pal. That's because we're on the propaganda merry-go-round. And right now, they're getting a lot of mileage, a lot of use out of this presidential selection that we just went through. And, you know, you can thank George Soros and the Rothschilds and the Rockefellers for putting Trump in the White House, because in the end, it didn't matter if Hillary got in or Trump got in from the point of view of the few that are actually making the decisions. And that's going to be your Rothschilds, your Rockefellers, your Browns, your Harrimans, your Warburgs. They don't care either way because they own both sides. Now, lower down in the food chain, well, they do care because, you know, the international communists, well, they wanted their candidate, Hillary Clinton, in there. And, of course, the national fascists, well, they wanted their candidate, Trumpster, in there. And so for them, it's kind of important. But outside of that, it don't make a difference, people, because in the end, Their goal is to destroy this country. And now you can either do it with the hideous, wrenching face of Hillary Clinton, or you can do it with your smooth, suave entertainment style of Donald Duck Trump. You betcha. You pick which poison you want. Hemlock, cyanide, or arsenic. Because it's all the same people in the end. You're going to be dead. Going on. I mention that because they will be coming up with a new disease. Now, I know these Zionist Jews, these Rockefeller, these Ford Foundation think tanks, they're working on the latest and greatest brand new epidemic, something you've never heard of before, like Zika. Remember when Zika first popped up? Everybody scratched their head and said, what? Zika? Oh, no, that's the name of the disease, Zika. And nobody had any idea what the hell people were talking about, but very quickly, it kind of entered our lexicon and became a common everyday word. Well, they're working on the newest, latest, and greatest Zionist Jew media sensation that they're going to present as our next pandemic to be afraid of, people. They'll be out with it soon, but they still got some more mileage. Because remember, today is the 17th, and it's three more days until the Trump coronation. Already there's been lots of speculation about the riots that may be happening down there. Maybe a small tactical nuke being set off, acid being thrown in the ventilation systems. And I don't know, if I paid $1 million for my ticket to that circus, I'd be a little pissed off if they set off a nuke while I was sitting there. So I'm wondering if they're offering some kind of special insurance just to go to the Trump coronation in case you get killed. I guess we'll find out. Going on, let's get moving with our FTT PSA from the Trenches Public Service Announcements. And, of course, we always start off with a basic reality. There is no country of Israel, people. It's a franchise operation. They specialize in international terrorism, but they're still a franchise operation and nothing more. Remember, Israel was supposedly created by the General Assembly or United Nations Resolution 181, where they just declared, poof! They have the right, this international corporation, because that's all the UN is, it's a corporation, just declared that they had the right to just, well, give away somebody else's sovereign country called Palestine. And when the Arabs actually balked at it and dismissed it, well, that's when these Zionist Jews, especially Ben-Gurion, just stepped up and said, well, we're going to declare a war and just come in there and steal it. And that's what led to the Arab-Israeli War. 1948 Arab-Israeli War. And I love how they put the Arab term first, because it makes it look like the Arab were the aggressors, the Arabs, right? No. Zionist Jews invaded Palestine. It was really the War of Zionist Invasion. That's all it was, people. There was no Arab-Israeli War. It was the Zionist Jew invasion of somebody else's country war. That's all it was. You know, Midkiff, Andrew Midkiff, one of our regulars here, he does quite a bit of work, and all of it is what you would call in Latin, the pro bono publica, for the public benefit. He puts a lot of these videos together and stuff, and he does it all in his own time. He does it all at his own expense. You know, we don't pay him anything. We barely can keep the site going. Let me see here. Let me see what the name of this one is, because he did a good job. You know, by accident, I listened to one yesterday. Normally, I never, ever listen to the recordings of our own shows because, well, I'm the guy who just participated in it. I know what was said. I was the guy saying it, at least when I did my part. Now, yesterday, he had posted a video because I had made comments about the Star Trek episode, and it was called Spectre of the Gun, where Mr. Spock talked about kind of the rules of reality. How about that? In a science fiction show, right? Talking about the rules of reality. And it's probably one of the most true statements ever uttered on television. I mean, it was really, he was dead accurate. Just because it was a science fiction show doesn't mean he was wrong. He wasn't. He was quite right. But in the, I was talking about that. And so Andrew Midkiff put together this little video clip and he called it Rules of Reality. And so when I saw it, because of course, on the opening frozen frame, it shows Mr. Spock staying on the bridge of the Enterprise. So I thought maybe he had taken the clip from the Spectre of the Gun where Spock goes into that little tirade talking about the rules of reality. So I started listening to it. Well, and lo and behold, it was me. And it was really me talking about the rules of reality and how there is no country of Israel. And where did the supposed franchise, international franchise of terrorism come from? Well, Andrew did a pretty good job of splicing it together, and he went and he did some research to gather some images for some of the documents, the very documents I was talking about, like the United Nations General Assembly Resolution 181 and so forth. He actually had an image of it up there, and I'd never seen that before, along with some other pictures and images. So I thought he did a really nice job. Again, I didn't even expect it was actually going to be a recording of me. I thought it was just going to be a segment from Star Trek, and I'm an old Star Trek fan, so I was willing to watch it, of course. So I just wanted to thank Andrew, and I invite people to go over and listen to it, because when I listened to it, I was like, hey, you know, that guy's a pretty fart smiler over there. He actually sounds like he knows what he's talking about. So I was kind of happy that he happened to pick a piece that I just kind of flowed half decently, because I don't go from a script. Everything I talk about is usually off the top of my head. Once in a while, I'll refer to other people's writings and so forth. But a lot of times when I'm on one of those little tirades, that's strictly off the top of my head. And luckily, I didn't stumble over myself too much, so it actually came out pretty decent. But I want to thank Andrew for putting that together and let people know, hey, if you want to hear, get a little bit of background on this myth of this so-called country called Israel. And there is no country of Israel. It's Palestine. It's Palestine under occupation. You can take a stroll over to our website, FromTheTrenchesWorldReport.com. And right now it's rolled onto the back page. So you go to the bottom of the front page that you'll get to when you bring the new site up. And when you scroll to the bottom, you'll see a little tiny button on the bottom. It says Older Posts. Older Posts. Click on that. It'll take you to the second back page. And you roll down about halfway, and there it is. Rules of Reality. Nice little video clip. Andrew did a great job on that, so thank you, Andrew. All right, let's get moving. That was part of my FTT PSA segment. So let's go into the Bill of Rights, because apparently there's been a brand new school opened up on that broadcast that Henry was talking about, where they're going to teach you about the Bill of Rights, because you know what? You're just too effing stupid to figure it out yourself. You know, it's kind of like Joseph Goebbels and his Ministry of Enlightenment. No thinking for you. We'll tell you how to interpret everything. We'll give you the facts. We'll tell you what you should feel and think and what your opinion should be, because we want to be in charge. Where have we heard all that before? That's right. Every single despotic tyrant through human history has done the same thing, people. And, you know, and I like Henry was picking the, what was his prime example there? He was talking about really in the colonies when the dirty church cabal was in charge. But in fact, you know, you could have gone all the way back to ancient Rome, or even better yet, ancient Egypt. Because who really ran ancient Egypt? Well, it was really the religious institute. It was really the priests that ran ancient Egypt. Yeah, they had a pharaoh, which they didn't call him pharaoh. In ancient Egypt, they did not call the pharaoh pharaoh. We call him pharaoh. Pharaoh really means in Egyptian, it really meant big house. You know, well, the guy with the most power and the most money typically did have a big house. So it really meant big house. That's really what pharaoh meant. They didn't call him pharaoh in their own time. They probably had a word for king, and I think there was. I just can't remember it offhand. So they probably addressed him by that. But the idea was the priests really ran the country. And in fact, well, a lot of people don't realize, you know, I like to study ancient Egypt. That's one of my favorites, because I think it's really, after the Sumerians, it's really the first big culture, because ancient Egypt was really the first society, the first nation state, where you had a whole segment, a whole culture, a whole geographic zone, go and conquer another one, unified, even though they basically spoke the same language and stuff, and that became what was called unified Egypt. But it was the first society, the first culture, where they really specialized trades. And they could do so because this was the first time in human history where clearly, as a society, as a culture, as a country, as a nation, they had a huge surplus product that made them very wealthy and was allowed people to become, or a certain segment of people to become, non-productive because you weren't on subsistence living standards. And of course, I'm talking about agriculture. Egypt became one of the first abundant food producers in all the world's history because they had the Nile. and they had the annual flooding with the Nile. And because of the annual flooding and the deposition of silt, silt was a very rich natural fertilizer, they could grow far more food per person than any other culture up to that point in human history. And in fact, they produced much more food than they could actually consume themselves. So what did they do? Well, they became exporters. Because they became exporters, well, they had to get something in return for the food. They weren't just giving it away. Well, that started generating real wealth and prosperity. That wealth and prosperity allows for diversification within the society. Specialization. Part of that specialization was the religious institutions, the priesthood. Well, as this went on hundreds of years, the priesthoods, because again, they didn't pay taxes, but they did accrue wealth. They were on the receiving end of wealth because, man, people wanted special favor from them, God. So people would come up and just give them money for doing nothing more than uttering a prayer. And they didn't have to work for that money. In fact, they received a lot of money sometimes. So that by the end of the first dynasty, when they came to their what's called their first intermediate period, this is their first dark ages, when their society, their culture, their financial system broke down, invaded from foreigners who were coming in and taking advantage of their societal disorder. The priests, the religious institution in Egypt, owned most of the land. And as Henry has talked about, when you own the land, you own the wealth. And this, of course, is no strange coincidence of what led to the French Revolution. Because by the time the people were starving and finally started to fight back, which led to the French Revolution, at that point, what was the similarity here? Oh, that's right. The church, the Catholic Church, owned about 90% of all the land in France. Not the wealthy nobles. It was the religious institutions again. This is by no strange coincidence that you have a same dynamic producing a similar result. And what do we see? You see the people trying to institute that very same dynamic. They want the religious institutions in charge. And there is no such thing as a corruption-free institution, religious or not. All institutions, all places where there is a concentration of wealth and or power are by their dynamics, by their nature, they're corrupt. Now, religion in and of itself doesn't have to be corrupt. You can believe in God. That doesn't require any kind of corruption at all. In fact, many people are resentful of the notion of corruption being somewhere in their religious belief system. But the institutions try and mask that, don't they? They try and hide it. And one of the ways they do it, as Henry was talking about, is to distort the reality of truth. Just what Mr. Spock was talking about in that episode of Spectre of the Gun. Well, once you have that distortion in place as the common wisdom, well, then it's very easy to seize power, isn't it? And that's what Henry's really trying to warn us about. These people, this corruption of a religious institution, wants to become the corruption of the political power so that they can be in charge. And they don't have to do anything to attain a vast amount of wealth. Because that's what all religious institutions go towards. That is what they all progress towards, at least through all of human history up to now. And I don't expect anything to be different this time around either. Anyway, I thought I'd bring that up because we were talking about what is the antidote to all that? That's the Bill of Rights. The Bill of Rights, as Henry has talked about, is fact and law. No, religion's a belief system. It requires that you can believe in something you can't physically touch, examine, or even scrutinize to a great detail, because then you would be one of the unfaithful, a heretic. No, I'm not a heretic, but I am a practical person, and I don't like people in my business. And that's what the Bill of Rights guarantees. Now, under the Bill of Rights, you can believe in anything you want. In fact, you know, if we're going to have a religious system ruling this country, remember there was a religion called Pastafarians, and they would wear pasta strainers on their head. And it's official religion, believe it or not. And of course, they did it to mock the notion of all the established religions. That's really why they did it. But nonetheless, it was allowed to become a, quote, real religion. But you know what? If we're going to have a religion that's going to lead us, a theocracy that's going to lead us, I'm going to call for not a Pastafarian, but a Pizzafarian religion. I want my, I want our theology that's going to lead this country to believe in pizza. Because I'm a big pizza fan. Anyway, you get the idea. And the antidote is, people, there is only one antidote for our freedom. And that is the Bill of Rights. That's it. There is no other antidote that we can put up that will apply to everybody, give everybody this invaluable, immeasurable asset that applies to everybody equally and cannot be accrued onto a single person or even a group of people, that we can all enjoy the riches of, the benefits of, and be happy to fight for it. There is no alternative to this, people. None. So once we get that understood, it'll make it easier to start pursuing it. All right, let's get moving here. Talking about pursuing truth. Now, this came up on our website. You know, because we mentioned it yesterday, so I sent Henry a bunch of pictures over. And I was comparing two crash sites. Number one, the Boeing 757, which supposedly struck the Pentagon on September 11th, 2001. And then the other one was a Boeing 747, which crashed yesterday over in Kyrgyzstan. And I was comparing the two crash sites because there are really, when it comes to aeronautical disasters, there are really two kinds of debris fields, right? There is a, what do they call it? I'm trying to remember what the second one's called. There is an extended debris field, and that comes from some kind of air breakup. And it will produce a debris field that may be a few hundred feet across to several miles across quite easily. Right? That's an indication of an air breakup. That is, whether it's a bomb went off or the plane suffered a catastrophic mechanical failure of the fuselage, even if it was purely organic because the plane was just old or the pilot just exceeded the flight limitations of the aircraft and it broke up in midair. Typically, as it's coming down, it will break up even more. The parts will start breaking off it. And that will give you a very scattered debris field. The other type of debris field that you get with aeronautical incidences are what are called point of impact or point of crash, in which case all of the remnants of the aircraft are extremely localized. In fact, sometimes they're spread across no more than several hundred feet, maybe a little bit more than that. But a lot of times, not typically more than several hundred feet, if the plane impacts the ground intact. Now, the process of impacting the ground or a building or whatever it's smacked into, sometimes the face of a mountain, that will have a little bit of a scattering action because the plane does have a forward velocity, and so that will carry some parts of the plane a little bit more forward. But nonetheless, all the parts are very localized. And so that was the reason I brought this up, because supposedly the Pentagon was a POI, point of impact aeronautical incident. And then we had this incident over there in Kyrgyzstan, where the Boeing 747 crashed into a nearby neighborhood because it missed the airstrip. And so you had a point of impact. And the point I was getting at is the plane that had just crashed left a very, very distinguished type of debris field where you can see large sections of the aircraft easily identifiable as to what parts of the plane they were. They were badly damaged, but nonetheless, you could still easily tell what they were. And then, of course, there was the Pentagon point of impact, where there wasn't a single remnant of the plane left. So I posted five pictures of each, one showing the Pentagon on the day of the impact, and five pictures from the point of impact, which occurred yesterday over there in Kyrgyzstan. And so one of our regular readers wrote back, and a guy I generally like, you know, Jolly Roger. And Jolly Roger and me, we've always had a bit of a respectful debate at times. He never got nasty with me, and I've never gotten nasty with him. In fact, most of the time we agree with each other. It's only once in a while we seem to have a little bit of a difference of opinion. No problem there. A difference of opinion is always good because it causes you to find rational or logical reasons to reinforce your argument. Nothing wrong with that. Well, in this one, Jolly Roger had made the comment that he felt that the plane may have been completely pulverized or obliterated as it impacted the face of the Pentagon, a lot like you see in a piece of video, a known piece of video, where an F-4 Phantom was launched into a concrete block. And this was done years ago. And the reason they had done that, and this was a controlled experiment, and the reason they had done that is because the concrete block was supposed to represent the containment building for a nuclear reactor. See, here in America, when we build nuclear power stations, We have the requirement, which is not universal. It's not shared over in Europe, although they now do it, although their designs may be something different. They basically do the same thing, is that you have the reactor core, which is inside a pressurized vessel, and that has a reactor around it, a reactor containment structure around it. And then around the entire reactor building, they build this monolith, this huge, thick, heavy concrete dome. Now, if you live in California and you've driven up I-5, of course, you've seen the San Onofre nuclear reactor containment buildings. It almost looks like a pair of tits sticking out of the ground. Well, that is not the reactor. That's just a concrete containment building. And inside that building is some space people can move around. And inside that space is the nuclear reactor, which is, of course, inside other containing structures, so that you're not exposed to the radiation. You know, you've got your lead shielding and so forth. The idea behind the containment building was, if the reactor core ever blew up, as we saw over in Russia, what was the name of that place? What was the name of the place over in Russia? They just put the huge concrete coffin over it. They called it the concrete sarcophagus. I can't believe I can't think of the name of it. That was an example of a nuclear core that did not have a containment building.
Chernobyl.
Chernobyl, thank you. I can't believe I couldn't think of it. Chernobyl, thank you, Henry. Chernobyl is a perfect example of a nuclear reactor that did not have a containment building. That specifically, that scenario, is the whole reason America requires a containment building to be built around the nuclear facility, the reactor core facility. Just in case you get a Chernobyl where there's a meltdown and the reactor fuel either leaks out or blows out, literally blows up, the reactor containment building can actually hold the force of the explosion in, believe it or not. That's how well built they are. Well, there's an old study that was done. What if a terrorist wanted to hijack an aircraft and smack it into one of these American-style containment buildings in attempt to breach the nuclear core and allow the radiation out to contaminate the entire geographic area? Well, that was the whole premise behind this study. So what they did is they took an F-4 Phantom, they mounted it on a rail sled, and mounted some solid fuel rocket engines to it. Now, this was an F-4 that no longer flew. They had stripped out the avionics, I'm assuming, because that's very expensive. And I don't know if they left the engine core in there or not, but they certainly left the F-4 mainframe, everything pretty much else intact. And then what they did is they launched it down a rail, and this was out in the desert somewhere, and they had it smack into a concrete block that was similar in structure to what they use for these nuclear reactor containment buildings. That is, it's about 10 feet thick. Well, the block they flew into, I don't know if that's the exact thickness of these containment buildings, but this is what they flew it into. The block they flew it into was a solid, steel-reinforced concrete block that was 10 feet thick. Well, they flew the sled, they flew the F-4 on this guided rail system directly into the face of the concrete block. That is, right at 90 degrees angles. That is, almost like a pole sticking out of the concrete block's face, perfectly perpendicular to the concrete face. That's the angle they flew the F-4 in at. Well, when the F-4 hit it at 530 miles per hour, or 500 plus miles per hour, was slightly over 500 miles per hour in the actual test, the whole plane literally just completely disintegrated. It was completely pulverized, except for the wingtips, which had extended past the concrete block, and so they sheared off, and they flew forward, and actually that ended up landing in the deserts, and they were still fairly well intact. They were heavily damaged, but they were still fairly well intact. The rest of the plane that did contact the concrete's face was totally pulverized. There wasn't anything recognizable from that part of the aircraft that actually had impacted the concrete face at 500 plus miles per hour. Well, Jolly Roger tried to bring that up as that was a comparable comparison between the plane striking the face of the Pentagon rather than the impact of this plane that just crashed, this Boeing that just crashed over there in Russia. And I disagreed. And I bring up Jolly Roger, one, because, well, he's a regular of ours, and we like Jolly Roger. And number two, I've always considered Jolly Roger to be a very, very well-informed guy, very awake. And I said, whoa, wait a minute. If we got Jolly Roger here, one of our regulars, posts articles, makes good comments, intelligent comments, and I says, if he's still making this kind of simple mistake, probably other people are too. So this isn't really directed at Jolly Roger at all, but I'm under the notion that if Jolly Roger's still making these kinds of base assumptions about the Pentagon impact, the Pentagon attack, probably other people too are that are still what we consider well-informed. So my conversation is really directed at the broad spectrum of people which may not fully understand what occurred there on 9/11 in the Pentagon attack. And, of course, also to help Jolly Roger if he wants to do a little more research specifically on this. So let's look at what we got here. Now, I made the comment that the attack on the Pentagon, the crash of the plane into the Pentagon's face, was kind of similar, very similar to the crash in Russia. Now, I didn't say it was identical. I did not say that at all. And the reason I said it was similar is I said because at the very least it should have produced a similar debris field. I didn't care about the actual impact itself other than the plane impacted the ground intact, which is supposedly what happened in the Pentagon. The plane impacted the face of the building intact. In other words, it was not an air breakup, which would have produced a completely different kind of debris field. Okay, so there's the basis. Plus, the planes were both built by Boeing. The F-4 Phantom is not built by Boeing. The 757 and the 747, the 747 is supposedly what impacted the, that was the one that, let me see, I wrote it down here. Let me just make sure I got this right here before I give this out. The 747 is what crashed yesterday, and supposedly what struck the Pentagon was a 757. They were both Boeings. They both had very similar airframes, although the one that hit the Pentagon was in reality about 25, maybe 30% smaller overall than the plane that actually crashed in Russia yesterday. So it is a smaller plane, but not that much smaller. I mean, it's about 30% smaller, but the airframe is basically the same, and it certainly uses the same construction techniques. They also use the same types of materials. That is what's called aircraft aluminum, T6 aluminum, which is a special kind of aluminum. It's not like the, you know, they build these aircraft out of aluminum. It's not the same kind of aluminum that you get in a soda can. It goes through a very special tempering process, goes through a very special purification process, tempering process. Then they alloy. It's not actually pure aluminum. They do put a tiny trace amounts of certain mixture additives in there, which actually makes the metal harder. Well, the metal that was used in the 747 and the 757, that would be the same T6 aluminum. All right, so we got that. Now let's look at why this is not the same as the F-4 Phantom that you can see in the video. Well, number one, the F-4 Phantom is a completely different kind of aircraft. It is a fighter aircraft, it's built by a different company, and it is designed to fly in excess of Mach 2. It's a really high-speed aircraft, the F-4 Phantom. In addition, it's much smaller than the aircraft that struck the Pentagon or crashed there in Russia. It's much, much smaller. It's a small fighter aircraft. Secondly, it was doing over 500 miles per hour and struck a 10-foot solid steel-reinforced concrete block perpendicular to the face. The aircraft that struck the Pentagon, which was the 757, struck the face of the Pentagon at an oblique angle. In fact, at approximately a 45-degree angle. And what happens is, when you strike the face of the solid concrete block perpendicular, what you get is all of the forward momentum, all of that energy goes into a compressive and, of course, a pulverizing action of the aircraft frame and metalwork. Whereas once it's at a 45-degree angle, it is no longer the case. Instead, what you get is called a shedding action. That is, as the plane's actually impacting the face, because you're at a 45-degree angle, it's also causing it to push off to the side, which will dismember the aircraft but it won't pulverize it. It will not pulverize it. It'll certainly destroy some of it. But as the aircraft is impacting the face, it's sliding off, being dismembered, and they call that a dismembering or a, what did I say it was? Not a dismembering. Let me get the right words here because I had written this down. Here we go. Let me get down here. Oh, shedding. I called it a shedding action. That's what it's called. All right, so you got that. So you got two different types of impact scenarios. One is the fighter aircraft striking the 10-foot thick solid concrete block, perpendicular in all respects, and all the energy is utilized into pulverizing all of the impacting material, whereas the other aircraft that struck the Pentagon struck at an oblique angle, 45-degree angle, where a lot of the energy is now used in what's called a shedding action, not into a pulverizing action, which is completely different. All right, next thing. You cannot fly commercial aircraft at sea level, which is what the Pentagon is. It's right there just above water level. You cannot fly commercial aircraft at sea level at 500 miles per hour. It physically can't be done. The aircraft will rip itself apart long before you ever reach that velocity. In fact, what the report says, the official report says, that the aircraft struck the Pentagon doing about 530 miles per hour. Well, this is physically impossible for a couple of reasons. Number one, commercial aircraft are designed to fly in very narrow velocity ranges at given altitudes. In fact, you can be at 35,000 feet, which is typically where they're designed to fly, and if you fly so much as 100 miles per hour over its rated speed, it can actually stall. They call it a high velocity or high speed stall. Because the wings are so engineered for efficiency, if you do not fly it in its prescribed velocity range, it will not retain lift. It will actually fall out of the sky, even though it's doing 500 miles per hour at 35,000 feet. If you overspeed, you will go into what's called an overspeed stall. And it will literally fall from the sky. Well, the same thing happens at ground level. You cannot fly it over speed. And there's a couple of reasons. Number one, the air is way thicker at ground level, much thicker. And because the air is so much thicker, the drag that is created by the thickness of the air grows not to the square, but to the cube. And they call it parasitic drag. You simply cannot generate enough power from the engines that are commercial aircraft to overcome the parasitic drag that you will encounter at sea level at 500 plus miles per hour, which is near, in fact, probably beyond its design limit to fly even at 35,000 feet. Can't be done at sea level. Number two, commercial aircraft engines are not designed to ingest dense air that you will encounter at sea level at 500 miles per hour. It creates a condition called stuffing. And what it is it's more air trying to get forced into the engine than the engine can handle. And so you get spillover out the sides, which will affect the aerodynamics of the aircraft. And number two, you also get a distortion of what's called the flame front of the combustion process within the engine. It will actually start to distort it and push it out of its ideal burning zone. It actually starts pushing the air, the flame front, back to a point where it will then lead to what's called a flame out condition. And once you have a flame out, you got no power. The engine loses all power. But in that process of moving from the ideal combustion position of the flame wall in the combustion chamber of the jet engine, as it starts to distort, the engine starts to lose power. So you simply cannot retain the power that you were achieving to get up to the velocity you were at when the flame wall distortion started. Oh, I'm sorry. I've gotten way past the bottom of the hour here. I didn't even realize it. Sorry about that, Henry. I just looked at the clock and saw it. I just assumed I was like 20 after. But anyway, we're going to get back into this because I really want to explain this. And this, again, is not directed just specifically at Jolly Roger, but to all our listeners who may not understand this. Because if Jolly Roger is making these kinds of comments, well, other people may be thinking along the same lines. And I'd like to give you a little bit of a food for thought about why technically that's not correct. why, in fact, you got to be viewing the specifics, the scientific basis, the engineering basis of what occurred on 9/11, so that you can reverse engineer or forensically piece together what would be the most likely scenario of what did occur there, because the government ain't ever going to tell us the fact that they launched an air cruise missile into the Pentagon. We've got to reverse engineer that, but we need to do so in a way that anybody who looks at this using basic scientific facts can also reverse engineer and will come to the same conclusion time and time again. That's the nature of the scientific basis, and that's what we're going to engage. Anyway, I do see we're way past the bottom of the hour. I apologize for that, Henry. We're going to take a bottom of the hour break. You are listening to The Word from the Trenches, and we'll be back after these messages. Henry, if you please.
Hey, old Dr. Bones here. Are you prepared to deal with medical issues in a disastrous situation? What would you do if medical help was not on the way? The Doom and Bloom Survival Medicine Handbook is over 400 pages of how-to advice written in plain English. You'll learn to handle all the likely medical issues you'll encounter in times of trouble. And it's not just the conventional medical wisdom. We talk about alternatives like essential oils, medicinal herbs, and other home remedies. Make the Doom and Bloom Survival Medicine Handbook a part of your survival library. And don't forget, Nurse Amy and I have medical kits, suture materials, instructional DVDs, and other items that'll help you keep it together even if things fall apart. Check them out, as well as 200 articles on medical preparedness, survival gardening, and other alternative remedies on our website at www.doomandbloom.net. Never think doom and gloom, think doom and bloom.
Go Healthy Next supports freedom of choice for natural health care alternatives. We offer a variety of innovative products to slow down environmental toxin accumulation and increase detoxification. Call us at 866-463-4533 or visit GoHealthyNext.com to learn how to start protecting the ones you love. Begin indoors replacing mercury-filled fluorescent bulbs with ion-bright LED bulbs that also kill bacteria, produce millions of negative ions, and reduce contaminants. Inhale cleaner air anywhere with our portable breathe-safe air purifier and simultaneously increase the absorption of oxygen through your lungs. Make and drink ozonated water to increase your body's oxygen levels with trioxy ozone generators. Then sweat out all those toxins with our Sonifix, which maximizes phototherapy and requires absolutely no preheating. Go green and get detoxified with our lab-tested and verified products. Give us a call at 1-866-463-4533 or visit us online at GoHealthyNext.com to learn more.
Divergent Flavor Labs introduces our all-original e-juice flavor line made from pure 100% kosher USP food-grade ingredients. Whether it's our flavored tobaccos like Calypso or our amazing bakery flavors like Crumbiliumptious, Divergent Flavor Labs handmade all-original flavor line will never disappoint. Available exclusively through VaporsRebellion.com.
All right. Welcome back, everybody. You are listening to Word from the Trenches. That's how it is. From the Trenches, worldreport.com. Brought to you by the FTT. Broadcast from the Trenches. Word from the Trenches is a listener-sponsored broadcast. I'd like to open it here. Go to our website, from the Trenches, worldreport.com. Contributions, as always, are greatly appreciated. I am the host, John D., U.S. Marine Fighter Tierney, and of course, Henry Shively is the main show host. And it is 4:47 Eastern Time, which makes it 1:47 Pacific Time. And during the break, that was Muse with Uprising. All right. I've gone over past the bottom of the hour, people. Sorry about that. I really didn't realize it was that late. God, I looked over at the clock assuming it was going to say like 22 after. And I was like, it's so 4:35 or whatever it was. Like, whoa, way past. Anyway, we were talking about this article. It's on our site right now. Comparison of point of crash site wreckage patterns. Pentagon's 9/11 Boeing 757 versus Kyrgyzstan's Boeing 747. Now, remember, the whole point of it was just to compare the nature of the debris fields. That's all I was really looking for, because there was such a glaring differential between the one that we witnessed or the one that occurred yesterday in Russia and what we saw over there in the Pentagon on 9/11. And I was just trying to make the analogy that not only is there no similarities between them whatsoever, in fact, when you look at the Pentagon site, what you see is a very pristine-looking site. In fact, if you look in the pictures, you can even see where the fire truck drove up to the where the fire was in the face of the Pentagon, and you can see the tire marks that he had left in the grass because it was so pristine, the site. In fact, if you look, there's a lot of pictures on 9/11, the Pentagon, and there's some of them. If you look, if you go browsing through all the pictures available on the Internet, there's a couple of pictures of the face of the Pentagon that got hit. And if you look there, just as the fire crew was showing up, there's several pictures, you can even see in one or two of the pictures, you can even see the footprints some of the firemen were leaving when they first got there. This is how pristine the site was. There was no wreckage whatsoever to speak of. Now, there's a couple of pictures where they show a couple of shrapnels, pieces of shrapnel. There's enough there to maybe reconstitute a soda can or something, but that's not an aircraft, people. So anyway, if you go over to the site, you'll see Jolly Roger's comment. And then you'll see my counter to it, my explanation of why technically that would be incorrect. So, again, this isn't just to pick on Jolly Roger because, well, we like Jolly. And me and him have always had a good rapport. So I'm just trying to give people consideration, technical considerations to think about when they start to think about what is the nature of the evidence that's available. Because remember what they did in the Pentagon, same thing they did over in the World Trade Center. They clean the site up quickly as possible and get rid of as much of the evidence as possible. Remember what happened with 9/11 right after the Twin Towers fell? What's the first thing they did? They brought in the cleanup crews, loaded all the steel on the barges, and sent it over to China to be melted down. When, in fact, a lot of that was your forensics evidence, your evidence of the crime scene, which they intentionally destroyed as quickly as possible. Well, same thing here at the Pentagon. One of the first things they did is they tried to pick up what little bit of evidence there was to quickly destroy it. So we don't have much to go on, so we got to reverse engineer the situation. So that's my explanation. If you go over to the site and look at that article, you'll see my full response there. And of course, there's a lot more, but that's just the basics to give people something to think about. Anyway, that's it for me. Unless there's any question or comment, I'm going to hand this back to my friend and mentor, Henry Shively. Going once, going twice. Okay, on you.
Oh, excellent report, JD. And I would have just assumed. Been fine with me if you'd just continued from the stuffing of the engines, but I'd throw in a question. You know, how long is that? It was a 757, 747, what was it?
That struck the Pentagon?
Yeah.
Well, the official report says that it was a 757 that struck the Pentagon. Now, the one that crashed in Russia yesterday, that was a 747. Which is something like 30% shorter. Now, if I remember, let's see here. I got the specs here. 757 is, let me get down to it. I got the specs here. The general length, if it was a 757-200, if I remember right, that's what they said struck the Pentagon. Now, remember, there was no civilian aircraft that struck the Pentagon. There was an aircraft that hit the Pentagon, but it was not a civilian aircraft. It was an air-launched cruise missile, an ALCM, AGM, air-guided missile, 86C, with a two-stage penetrator warhead. Because the first warhead blew up, and what that did is it creates a hole in the face, in the facade of the Pentagon, which then allowed the main charge to enter into the Pentagon, where it then blew up, killing the audit team that was trying to find the missing $2.3 trillion. Now, the aircraft itself is, if it's a 757-200, it is 155 feet long and has a wingspan of 124 feet.
So,
the general height is 44 feet, which is almost the height of the whole Pentagon.
Now, when supposedly these planes hit the Twin Towers, I know people even argue about that. But one of the engines from one of those planes was throwing like five blocks, wasn't it?
Yeah, and someone had conveniently said, they said, number one, that was not an engine from that aircraft, because in that image of that engine that supposedly got thrown from the impact of the Twin Towers, they said it had the wrong annular nozzles. They says that aircraft had never used an engine, the aircraft that they said impacted the Twin Towers. They said that aircraft never used an engine which had that annular nozzle arrangement. And what the annular nozzle is, it's a jet engine. It's a turbine engine. And the way it works is in the center part of the engine, that's where the combustion chamber is. And going around the outside edge, it's basically an empty space where the fuel is shot in there, mixed with the air that's coming in through the front of the engine, through the compressor blades. And there's basically an empty space in there, and that's your combustion chamber. So what the annular nozzle does is it's around the outside edge there in the middle, and it sprays the fuel towards the empty part of that cavity there where it's mixed with air, and that's where the combustion occurs. Well, they said that those engines, that plane never used an engine that used that annular nozzle arrangement. So they said that's not an engine from one of those aircraft. That's a plant.
Wow. Or either that or they switched aircrafts. Like, go ahead, please.
Well, again, if it was not a civilian aircraft that struck the Pentagon, these were 737s. By all appearances, it was a 737E, electronic warfare. These are military aircraft, and they will use different engines than what civilian aircraft use, because military aircraft have something called a FOD requirement. And what a FOD requirement is, it's a foreign object damage resistance requirement that military aircraft must have, which are much higher than civilian aircraft, so that when it ingests stuff off less than pristine airfields, because military aircraft have to operate off basically desert airstrips sometimes, and so there's a greater potential for FOD damage, so they have a much higher FOD requirement than civilian aircraft.
Go ahead, Flea.
J.D.?
Yeah, come on.
Yeah, you know, what I'm picking up here is that what you're telling me is that a plane like that coming at a 45-degree angle should actually shear off the wings, and maybe the tail should have flown into the courtyard?
Well, what will happen is, again, as the plane's striking it at a 45-degree angle, it will be bouncing somewhat, kind of reflecting a little bit. It will be destroyed in the process, don't get me wrong. There's going to be some pulverization. There's going to be a lot of dismemberment. But many of the components, as the plane is striking the face of the building, the front part of the plane that's hitting the building is also absorbing a lot of the impact energy and reducing the speed as the rest of the plane is now hurling towards the impact point. And so there's less energy to destroy the remaining part of the aircraft, especially the tail section.
That's kind of like what I was thinking, too. I mean, how would it be if you pulled a 757 up against the side of the Pentagon? Those planes set pretty far up off the ground, don't they?
Well, there is an image out there. There's one on the Internet. And again, this is from one of the technical reports. Somebody overlaid an image of a 737, which was a 737 that supposedly struck the Pentagon, is what they're saying. Let me get back over here. Let me make sure I'm seeing the right plane. Here we go. 757. Someone took an image of a 757, scaled it properly, put it at the right angle of impact, right there in front of the Pentagon, just like it was about to impact, and then you could see how big the plane is in comparison to the Pentagon, and certainly the damage that was witnessed in the Pentagon is so tiny compared to the actual size of the plane.
And well, what I was getting at is because of the, I mean, you're coming in like Flea was pointing out, or you said a 45-degree angle. I'm with him. Shouldn't parts of it have flew over the top?
Well, probably part of the vertical stabilizer certainly should have. But now what the government said, in the government report, there was one technical report that was done in the Pentagon. It's called the Pentagon Building Performance Report. Now, this was done by the government. It was also done with the American Engineer Society. And in that report, there is one graphic they put in there, which is mathematically and physically impossible. And in this report, which was reviewed by several doctorates of engineering by an engineering firm, went through a slew of White House lawyers and still got released in its final press, they show in this graph, in this official report produced by the government, that this aircraft flew with its engines extending over 8 feet into the ground.
Wow. Okay. It don't add up, man. There's no way that big old plane went in that little tiny hole. Even if it was turned into dust, it wouldn't hold it.
No, it's mathematically impossible.
There's chipping debris all over the place.
Oh, please.
You need to go and look at hundreds and hundreds of plane crash photographs. You'll find them in your universities and college libraries.
Just go on the internet. There's thousands of them.
The history of plane crashes, you will see what debris is left behind when a plane crashes. There's going to be tons of it.
Tons is what I'm getting at. I mean, I looked at the photo of the, the plane, the little fighter being shot.
Concrete?
Being shot into the concrete, but you're talking about a whole different airframe. That guy, I mean, the airframe on a big long plane like that 757 would buckle. It'd go left, it'd go right, it'd go up, it'd go down. I mean, it just couldn't happen.
Now remember, let's take this one more point. What they shot the plane perpendicular in all respects, this F-4 fighter, into a concrete block that was 10 feet thick. Steel-reinforced concrete. It was supposed to simulate the containment building on a nuclear reactor. The wall of the Pentagon, which had just gone through its upgrades, was barely 10 inches thick at its thickest location, 10 inches thick of concrete. And then there was a 6-inch veneer limestone put on top of that. So at its thickest places, you only had 16 inches of stone. But the fact is, most of the wall of the Pentagon, 35% of it, was glass. And this was not to be bomb retardant or missile retardant resistant. It was made in case somebody pulled up with a vehicle in front of the building's face and detonated. It was bomb resistant, not missile or air attack proof. It was not designed for that. The only upgrade they were doing was with the notion of the Murrow building, where supposedly the bomb pulled up in front of it, blew up, and of course the damage was created by the blast from ground level. That was the upgrade that the Pentagon was receiving.
Which was bullshit, too, because there was shape charges inside the Murrow building.
That's right. There was. Now, solid concrete block to a wall that's perforated with 35% glass. And the upgrades they did in it is between the glass, there's steel columns with cavities. And what they did in those cavities, they didn't even fill them with concrete. What they did is they stretched a Kevlar blanket in the cavity to help absorb and catch the energy and any shrapnel or pieces of brick that may have gotten blown towards the occupants inside if there was a blast outside the building.
Go ahead, Carl. You got to understand, JD cannot hear nobody when he starts to speak because of the way the Skype goes.
Well,
go ahead.
I've seen photographs of the construction, old photographs of the construction, and it looked like a lot of rebar enforcement to me.
No, there is rebar in there. I didn't say there was no rebar. I said it was thin.
And
that was in the F-4 Phantom video. It was 10 feet thick. The face of the Pentagon is only 10 inches thick at the places where it's concrete. Remember, 30% of the wall of the Pentagon is glass.
It could be penetrated, but not like they claim. There'd be debris everywhere.
Absolutely.
The wings would have been flattened out. The wings would never have penetrated that, perhaps. No.
Break. But
two stories, three stories high. Come on.
Exactly. Anyways, guys, we've made it to the top of the hour. And we will be back tomorrow at 12 Pacific, 3 Eastern, for another broadcast of The Word from the Trenches on PBFTT. And until then, don't take any wooden nickels, and that is The Word from the Trenches.